Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Our study at this present time is a study of three words. Now, words are simply wonderful because they are symbols of ideas and thoughts. They are tools of communication. They have meaning. With words, people can be motivated to action. They can have their emotions aroused or calmed and comforted, possibly incited to serious thought. Words are used to convey thoughts from one mind to another. God has chosen words to convey to mankind his own mind. By words, he has revealed what man needs to know and what he must do and what he must be. And our lesson centers on three words, not one of which actually appears in the text of the scripture, but all three convey a thought, an idea, a concept that one finds expressed repeatedly in scripture by other words. Now, these three words are well considered at the close of a year, but consideration of them can be beneficial at any time of the year. They are most appropriate as we take time to do some serious thinking about ourselves and about our world. These words are retrospection, introspection, and prospection. Now let us consider each of these. Retrospection means to look backward and to contemplate and meditate on the past. Actually, it's a process of review, looking again at what has already been. It is not always good to look back. Israel looked back once after they had left Egypt. While in Egypt, they considered their existence almost unbearable, but once they were delivered and the hardships of the wilderness confronted them, they looked back longingly to the bondage from which they had escaped. They longed for the flesh pots of Egypt. And Lot's wife looked back when Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, evidently with some yearning to return to that which she was forced to forsake. But we know the disaster that overtook her by looking back. So all retrospection is certainly not good. Paul warned the brethren to forget the things that are behind, Philippians 3 and verse 13. Friend, in the past there may well have been some things we would prefer to have been different. The mistakes we made may cause us to wish we had another opportunity to avoid those things. But Paul did not want brethren to brood and to worry and to fret over the past. What is done is done. Tomorrow trouble from yesterday can become a hindrance to the present and to the future. But there is a great value in looking back, if we have the right purpose and attitude in looking back. Have not many good things happened in the past that we would do well to make them happen again? Is there not much in the past that is worth imitating? And the reason the study of history is so useful to us is because we can learn lessons from the past, learning from our experiences and the experiences of others. Paul told us the things written aforetime were for our learning, Romans 15:4. He tells us the events regarding Israel serve as examples for us, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. Why, the observance of the Lord's Supper has an element of looking back. It is a memorial. It is a remembrance of Christ and that which he did on the behalf of sinful mankind. And so important is this act of retrospection that we are commanded not to forsake the assemblies, Hebrews 10:25, especially when this communion is made. The Gentile Christians were exhorted to remember what they were prior to coming to Christ, because they were alienated from God and without hope and without God and having no promise, Ephesians 2:11 and 12. By comparing the past when they were out of Christ with being in Christ, they had reason to be grateful. The Lord wanted the Ephesians to remember that from which they had fallen in Revelation 2 and verse 5 and return to their first love. Yes, looking back can be a very profitable exercise. Whether it is good or bad depends on why we're looking back and what we intend to do with what we observed from the past. As we look back over the rapidly passing weeks of a year, what events have taken place? What have we learned from them? What have you done for the Lord? Have you kept your promises? Are you more faithful? Have you reached the goals that you set? Does looking back bring some regrets? Do you see more clearly the mistakes and know better how to avoid them in the future? Do you see sadness and trouble? Are you better fit to cope with it now than you were because you've experienced certain things in the past? Has there been real spiritual progress in your home life? What of your spiritual life and service to others? Are you made to rejoice over successes? Let us engage in retrospection, but only for a while, because, friend, the past is gone. It cannot be recalled. Introspection. That means to look within. It involves self-examination. We need to appraise and evaluate our lives, friend. It is called in the business world taking inventory, counting the stock. It is to consider ourselves, not as we might have been in the past, but as we are at the present. The present cannot be encumbered with brooding over the past. We would waste the present or even dwell too long on what might have been. All that we have is now. We must be the best that we can now. Regardless of the past, now is what really matters even more. Robert Burns once wrote, "Oh, would some power the giver give us to see ourselves as others see us?" Well, that's looking within. We might not be too happy with what we see at times, but we're not at all concerned how others may consider us. They may see good, they may see what they consider to be bad. But what interests us most, not that we're totally unconcerned about others, but mostly we're concerned about how God sees us. The way God sees us, of course, is the way that we really are. The way others see us may be just human judgment from outward appearance, but God looks on the heart, 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7. God knows the hearts of people, and what we really are is what we are in the heart. Now, this does not minimize the importance of what we say or what we do, but it does emphasize the importance of the inward man. And God is able to know and to judge the inward man. How does he see us at the present? Introspection, of course, is a very personal matter. Nobody can self-examine. For us, the very concept of self-examination means that only we are capable of making this exercise for ourselves. But the gospel requires that we look within. 2 John verse 8, look to yourselves. Galatians chapter 1, considering thyself. 2 Corinthians 13, 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 28, but let a man examine himself. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how would thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. The teaching of Jesus, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, 3-5. Many have thought this passage forbids making any judgments about others whatsoever. That's not so. It is, rather, a teaching to examine ourselves. And if we will, we can be of greater benefit to others to also see their own faults. Self-examination demands making a comparison. We should not measure ourselves by ourselves, for this, Paul says, is not wise. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. But we must look into the mirror of God's Word. We must compare ourselves with the perfect law of liberty. We must consider Jesus Christ as the standard. We must compare what we are with what we ought to be and what we could be. We should consider our strengths as well as our weaknesses. There are good things as well as bad things about each of us. We should look at our habits, our actions, and our words, our attitudes, our deeds. We have to consider our plans and ambitions and what we consider to be a priority, what is of value, every phase of our lives, This is more than just a self-imposed psychoanalysis. It is a real soul-searching. It is a serious scrutiny of our hearts, as well as our lives totally. And as we look within, how different are we from a year ago, if we can remember? Are we more spiritually minded? Are we quicker to forgive? Are we stronger in the faith? Are we more determined than ever to live for Christ and be like Christ and work as laborers in His vineyard? Do we love the church more? Do we show that love? Are we studying His Word more? Are we slower to harsh criticism and gossip, but quicker with words of comfort and support? Would we be ashamed to have certain portions of our lives exposed to the whole world? What if everybody in the church had the same attitude as I do or that you do? What if all acted as we're now acting in life? Would the church be better, or would it be worse? Would the world be better, or would it be worse? Yes, friend, engaging in introspection is not an easy task. In fact, like retrospection, there may be times it is truly painful. But again, there may be those things that give us courage and comfort. Introspection demands such a stern honesty that we all may find it difficult to do the job as it ought to be done. But our third word is prospection. That means, where do we go from here? This word calls for looking into the future, not as a fortune teller or some kind of prophet, but consider plans to set goals, determine our objectives, and generally chart our course for the days that may yet be before us. We need not only to determine our goals, but seek the ways to reach those goals. Now that is called prospection. In looking ahead, looking forward, we must realize that tomorrow may never be. And this is the reason our present is so important. But to linger in the past, or to dwell exclusively on the present, and possibly be satisfied with things as they are, we run the risk of retardation of our growth. One fundamental Christian principle is preparation for the future, making ready for what not only may be, but most assuredly making ready for what inevitably will be. The reason for looking back is so that we can make the future better. The reason for examining ourselves in the present is to see wherein we need to make adjustments and alterations in life so we may know what is the right course of action for the future. Nor do we want to become one-sided and become mere dreamers and planners and never do anything about our dreams and our plans. But let us learn this. To set noble goals in life is commendable, as far as it goes. But that is not enough. Many goals are not reached, and it's not because they're out of reach, but because we do not spend sufficient time and energy in prospection as to how to reach them. What do we really want for the future? Do you want more knowledge of God's Word? Friend, there are ways to accomplish this. Do you want your home to be more what God has designed a home to be? There are ways to accomplish that. Do you want to be more faithful in worship? Do you want to give up habits that are harmful? Do you want to learn to control your tongue? Do you want to see your children see a righteous example in your life? Do you want to be more helpful to those who are less fortunate? All of these goals are admirable. All of these things are within our reach, are they not? And we want to become this way. But we need to go about the task each day. We may not develop rapidly the character that we want to become, but we need to know from whence we are coming and where we are going and why. This is prospection. And we are able to accomplish these things. There's a hymn that we sing sometimes that we maybe expresses the idea that Christians should desire for the future. It says, "More about Jesus would I know, more of His grace to others show, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn, more of His holy will discern. Spirit of God my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. There's another hymn that states it this way. I want to be more like Jesus and follow him day by day. I want to be true and faithful in every command obey. I want to be kind and gentle to those who are in distress, to comfort the brokenhearted with sweet words of tenderness. I want to be meek and lowly like Jesus, our friend and King. I want to be strong and earnest and souls to the Savior bring. More and more like Jesus I would ever be. More and more like Jesus, my Savior who died for me. Dear listening friend, what aims could a person have that would exceed these? Every individual, every congregation can subscribe to such goals. How fine it would be if we would live each day so that when we look back, we can look back with pleasure and consolation. How fine it would be to so plan our future that we could look forward to it. How fine if we would live today in the best possible way before God. Paul wrote, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. I suggest to you that these three words, retrospection, introspection, prospection, they're words of optimism and of wisdom. They are words that give hope and determination, that embody the ideas of looking back in order to learn, looking within to see where we are, looking to the future and the path that we ought to trod. So let us study these three words with the earnest admonition that we all spend some time in thought. Retrospection, introspection, prospection. My dear friend, it will make a difference, both in this life and for our eternity. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.